Good afternoon, boys and girls. David Creel, world's best double eagle coach, with my friend from Nashville, Tennessee, Aaron Walker, a.k.a. Big A, who is a published author of View from the Top, and he has his Iron Sharpens Iron Mastermind Group. How are you today, Aaron?
Hey, David. Buddy, I'm doing good. We should be on the golf course today. Why are we indoors?
Well, because I'm in Texas and you're in Tennessee, for starters.
I know, but we could make that happen pretty easy. It wouldn't take too long, a couple hours. We could meet somewhere. But, hey, we'll save that for next time.
Maybe so. I live in the Houston area, so I can't be anywhere outside of the state unless we're going to Louisiana in 2 hours.
And okay. You need to move to Nashville where we have these flights out of here. You know what, though? Delta pilots are on strike now, so we probably can't get anywhere. So we'll save the golf game for later. I think I could take you, though, David, just to be honest with you. I think that I could take you in a round of golf. What do you think?
I would say possibly. It depends on who shows up today, I guess.
Oh, okay.
I shot 73 a couple days ago.
You did? Did you play the back also? Or you played both sides. Oh, I'll stick to my comment. So we'll just have to see what happens later. Man, how could we have a great conversation today? Where do we want to go?
Well, we're going to put our attention on you.
Yeah.
For the next however long it takes. So what would make this an amazing conversation for you?
You know, what we've been talking about a lot is eradicating isolation, because, you know, going through the pandemic, we've really had a hard time lately. And, you know, as a coach, you know how important it is to be in community. And I would love to dive into what eradicating isolation could look like for your listeners.
What do you think the next best step that could and should be done to eradicate that?
You know, let's go way back just for a second, if I could, just give context to this conversation. I live in Nashville, Tennessee, been here 62 years now. Back about 2.5 decades ago, a buddy of mine approached me and asked me to join his mastermind group. And I said, I don't even know what a mastermind group is. Like, what is that? And he started laughing. He said, just show up at my office and I'll introduce you to the guys that's going to be there. And I said, you know, I don't really want to do that. And he goes, man, you need to come. Like, we're designed to be in community. We need to be around other brothers and you need to come. So I came home. Robin and I have been married 42 years now. So what is that, 15 years into the making? I said, Robin, I don't want to go. I said, because I know this guy's going to be all up in my business. He's going to be asking me hard questions. And to be honest, I don't want to answer those questions. And she said, go and just check it out. Just see what it's like. So David, I go and I sit there and, you know, I'm cordial and polite and I meet the other people in the room. You and I've got a mutual friend actually that was in that group at the time. And they were pretty cool, like pretty cool guys. And I sit there and listened, and I was quiet for the first probably 3 months. Like every Wednesday we would meet. And one day I was in there and one guy started talking about some challenges with his kids. And I thought, man, he's getting pretty raw here, you know, in front of these guys that he doesn't know that well. And the following week, this guy started talking about some financial cash flow issues he was having. And I'm like, dang, man, I didn't see that coming. And then, I don't know, a week or so later, a guy was sharing about some challenges with his spouse, said, we're having some relationship issues. And I start laughing internally, not at the guy, but I start laughing internally. And I came home and I said, Robin, I have found my people. She said, what do you mean? I said, they're more screwed up than I am. I said, I have found my tribe. And so it took me on a journey, David, for the next 12 years of really being vulnerable and transparent and getting all the craziness out of the way in front of a group of guys that I could really trust. And it changed my life, completely changed my life. And so today we started Iron Sharpens Iron, you know, about 9 years ago. And today we get to help people all over the world. We have 150 members in 15 groups. We're in about 5 different countries now around the world. And we're helping people eradicate isolation out of their lives and getting them on a trajectory that they've never experienced. And so it's something really near and dear to my heart, because we need people around us. We need trusted advisors that can walk this journey with us, that can walk in lockstep, that can have that camaraderie that I've been able to experience now for over two decades.
And what do you think, what was your first thought whenever you realized that you found your tribe or your people? What was the first thing that popped into your head?
Well, the first thing was that I had been living behind a facade. I had been not really being truthful, not in a lying standpoint, but being honest with who I am, what my superpowers were, and then what the kryptonite was in my life and what my blind spots were. And for the first time, I felt safe. I felt like I could go and share these trials and tribulations. Like, you know, 42 years of marriage is great, but it's not all, you know, rainbows and sunshine, right? And so you have to have a place to go, like, I don't understand. I've never been here before. When my teenagers would misbehave, it's like, I don't know. I've never been a dad to a 16-year-old before. When I reach a threshold in one of our businesses, like, you know what? I don't know what to do, because what got me here is not going to get me there. And like, I don't know what the next right thing is to do. So I would wing it. I would just go in, man, the eras, the challenges that I was up against, there were so many failed attempts at doing the right thing. But when you have people that you do life with on an ongoing basis, they can help you dodge some of those landmines that we have in our lives today. And so it just introduced me to a whole another world of being able to take that facade down and saying, hey, I'm good at some areas, but I suck really bad at some other areas, and I need you guys to help me figure it out. And so the eye-opening experience for me was realizing that real strength begins at the intersection of vulnerability and transparency. Now, we can't go do that in front of the world. They don't know us. They think we're crazy. Sure. But man, when you meet with the same people day in and day out, month after month, year after year, they have context to your situation, and then they can help you make a decision.
So what I heard you say out of that was whenever they started sharing this, you might have had the similar feelings, but what that made you was, hey, I'm human. Sure. And they're human too. There's no superhuman human beings here.
Right.
We all put our pants leg one on the other, but vulnerability is a true superpower.
Yeah. And that's what most people don't have. Most people don't want to be vulnerable because they don't want people to know that they have challenges and trials. See, the thing people believe in their minds is that if they know the truth, they won't like me anymore. Or if they know this about me, they won't invite me to the party. Or if they know this, they won't enter into a business conversation. There's nothing further from the truth. What it does is it endears you to those people. It gets them to realize and accept you for who you are, right? Warts and all. And it allows you to do the same with that person. That person goes, oh, you know what? When you cut them, they bleed just like I do. And now we're on a playing field that's level, that we each can help one another dodge some of those landmines that are out there. I would go oftentimes in that group and I would say, hey, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go home and tell Robin this. And one of the guys that said, been married 10 years, my senior, yeah, you do that, you'll catch your hind end on the couch tonight. Here's what you need to do. And I was like, I didn't even know to know that. I didn't even know to think that way. See, masterminds provide one of the most beneficial assets on the planet, and it's called perspective. Because no matter if you want to see it a different way, you were raised a certain way. You have a certain set of filters, right? You couldn't even think differently if you wanted to. We need other people's perspective in order to align ourselves in a way that we can make different choices. I was at a conference not long ago, and I heard Jeff Hoffman speak. He was the founder of Priceline. He's a multi-billionaire. I mean, the guy's made an incredible amount of money. And he said in the talk, 10% of everything that he reads has nothing to do with anything he's involved in. And I got an opportunity to talk to him after the conference. And I said, help me understand that. He said, well, you see, it opens up a whole new horizon, because we don't even know some of these things exist. And he said, the irony of this, my best intentions served me well, but the things that really made me the most money was the things that I read that had nothing to do with anything I was involved in, because it opened up a whole new world for me. I was able then to make application in other areas of my life because I learned something. I was introduced to something new, and it just opened up a whole new world. So I want to encourage your listeners today to really venture out. Don't get so tunnel vision that you can't hear other people's perspective. You can't get other insight. You can't at least listen, right? You may not agree with them, but if it is something that maybe there's an opportunity, if you try some different things, it could really open up a whole new venture for you.
Yeah, I heard the story of, I believe it was Thomas Edison, who was apparently a terrible fisherman. Huh. But the reason he would go fish every single day for about an hour, he would never catch anything because he wouldn't use any bait. But when he was fishing, when you don't catch anything, people don't bother you. And that gave him time to think. But when he was fishing, he was using a bamboo fishing pole. And then he said, oh, I wonder if this bamboo would work for whatever he was working on. And if he'd have been so stuck in the lab or reading his scientific journals, or whatever, he wouldn't have come to that conclusion. And the bamboo stick he was using turned out to be exactly what he needed for whatever experiment he was working on.
It's because he had white space, right? He allowed himself an opportunity to think outside of the box. I just got off of a 2-month sabbatical. I took November and December of this past year off. I really needed some time to think about this fourth quarter. David, I'm considerably older than you. And so I'm thinking about what does the fourth quarter look like for me and for Robin? What are we going to do with our business? Where are we going to live? How much money are we going to make? How much are we going to give away? Very proactive thinking. Well, when you're in the daily grind, you don't have an opportunity to go to that level in your thinking because you're dealing with problems at hand. You're just putting out the most recent fire, the person that's screaming the loudest. But when you get away, and I unplug from everything, our whole team, we have a small team. There's 10 people on our team. I entrusted the leadership to our team, and I said, I'll be gone for 2 months. I'll catch y'all when I get back. Took a couple of trips, went down to Key West, went down to the Mexican Riviera. Robin and I got away on the cruise, and we just unplugged. No social media, no email. You know, I've read things that I enjoy just for fun. You know, I need to get away from the personal and professional development. I just need time to think. Well, when I came back, I changed everything, our whole team. And what I did was, is I eliminated the administrative task from my life because I suck at it really bad. I'm a visionary. I'm a creator developer. So I came back casting vision. I delegated out the administrative task, and it's been a game changer, not only for me, but for our team, because I need to operate in my lane of genius, right? I need to operate in a place that gives me energy. When it sucks the life out of you every single day, eventually you'll hit the wall. But for me, I'm energized. I'm motivated. I can't wait to get up each and every day because I'm operating in that zone of genius, not just in my zone of competence. And that's what I want your listeners to do today. Really think through where you could have some white space. Think through what it is that gives you energy. Try to delegate the other things to other team members. And you're like, hey, I'm a solopreneur. I don't have anybody else. Well, maybe it's the who and not the what. Maybe you need to get a who. Maybe you need to get somebody that you can delegate these tasks to so that you can be excited like I'm talking about and you can operate in your zone of genius. And so that's what this time off allows you to do. It allows you to dream big. And I really thought through the things that I want, the vision that I've cast for Iron Sharpens Iron and View from the Top. I know what it's going to look like. Now I just got to go back and implement the task in order to accomplish that goal. But you just can't do that when you're in the daily grind. So my hat's off to Thomas Edison for going out fishing with no bait and really giving himself some white space.
Yeah. And I think the word is margin.
It is.
You know, yeah. Because we're not designed to wake up at 5 or 5:30 or 6 or whenever you get up. Yeah. And go 90 to nothing until 10 p.m. And then stumble into bed and then get up the next day and repeat. We're not designed for that.
Who even wants to live that way anyway? That's not life. That's not living to your fullest. That's just grinding it out each and every day. Listen, I've owned 14 businesses over the course of 43 years. Money is a tool designed to help us live our life. But most people have it backwards. They're just on this aspirational kick to get more, bigger, better, shinier, faster. And it's like the dog that caught the car. Once they catch it, it doesn't give them what they think. And it's not going to scratch the itch like you think it's going to help you scratch the itch. Listen, I've had the stuff, right? I retired first time at 27. I sold out to a Fortune 500. And I'm not saying that boastfully. I'm saying it as an example. It's like 18 months later, I was bored out of my mind. I'd sold the company. I'd gained 50 pounds. I was getting in the bed in the middle of the day. I was playing golf every day with guys that were 65 years old that were beating me like a drum. So that hurt my feelings on top of that. But we got to have purpose. There's got to be a reason that we get up each and every day, right? It's not just to make more money going through this grind every single day. That sounds like torture to me, not having a job. And then, like you said, you stumble to bed and you get up and you go do it again tomorrow. What in the world are we doing that for? We've got to have a bigger why. There's got to be a purpose. There's got to be a mission. There's got to be a reason that we're doing this. And I just invite the listeners today, if you haven't discovered that, give it some thought and think through, how can I live my life proactively and do some of these things that Big A is saying so that I can get up with vigor and inspiration and motivation to do what I do each and every day, not just to get up and go through the grind again.
Yeah, that sounds a whole lot like the must listen to audio program, which I'm sure you've listened to at least once in your life, The Strangest Secret.
Yeah.
He says on there, he says, people simply don't think. Mm-hmm. That's the secret, because you become what you think about.
Yeah.
And if you're only thinking about your, you know, 80-hour work week so that you can get the second boat or the second jet ski or whatever, do you really need a second boat? Maybe you're just be content with the boat you have until you can get a bigger boat, you know? So,
David, let me go back and tell your audience something that happened to me. You may or may not know about this. I know you followed me for a little while on social media platforms, but I want to tell a quick story. Things were really good for me back in 2001. We had a beautiful home. We had a place on the beach. I had the cars. I had stuff. I was working 3 days a week. My partner was working 3 days a week. Two beautiful teenage daughters, gorgeous wife. I mean, my life was utopia. It really was unbelievable. Until August 1st, 2001, I was headed to the office and I ran over and killed a pedestrian on my way to the office. And my life come to a screeching halt that day. I don't want to bring our audience down today, but the reality of the brevity of life really took over in my life that day. I was like, man, this is unbelievable. I can't even understand what's going on. Like, my life is so good 1 minute, and 5 minutes later, I'm sitting in the back of a patrol car, Metro Police Department here in Nashville, Tennessee, thinking, what just happened? And so people testified, you know, and said, hey, I wasn't speeding. This guy ran out in front of me to catch a bus. Like, it all ended up okay. I didn't get sued. I didn't get in trouble. I didn't get any of those things. But what I really came to discover out of that was that margin you're talking about, really thinking through, what am I trying to do? What is it I'm trying to accomplish? Like, what is this mission that I'm on? And see, up until that point, nobody cared about me having a little bit of wealth, but my family. And what my legacy would have been had I been killed that day was, poor kid from Nashville, Tennessee, makes enough money to retire at age 27 and nobody cares. That's what my legacy would have been. And I'm like, golly, it feels so wrong. What I want my legacy to be is, hey, David Creel's life is better as a result of having interacted with me, because I connect him to people. I encourage him. I challenge him. We build a friendship. We share, you know, ideas. We challenge one another. And when I do get laid parallel one day, as I get older, you can say, hey man, that dude right there, he helped change my life. As a result of me having this epiphany, I focused outward instead of inward. I'm helping people accomplish their goals and dreams today. That's why we started Iron Sharpens Iron Mastermind. That's why hundreds, if not thousands, of lives are being changed now as a result of being in our mastermind, because we're introducing people to community. We're connecting them. We're challenging them. We're helping them maximize their life each and every day. And they're better dads. They're better husbands. They're better business people. They have motivation. They have inspiration. They have a reason to get up each and every day. And the irony of that is because now we wrote a book called How to Live a Life of Success and Significance. It's called View from the Top. It's, I help you understand, go for it, make money. I want you to make money. I hate it when people with money go, money's not important. I want to go, you liar. Let's take it away from you and see how important it is. Like, it's real important because I have a nice house. I have a nice car. We take nice trips. We're about to take the whole family to Florida. I rented a place down there in Florida for the whole family. And it's like, you can't do that if you're broke. Okay. So go make money. I want you to make money. Don't make money your God, though. Don't make it your sole reason that you get up each and every day. I had all that, and that was fine, but nobody cared. It didn't impact anybody else's life. Now we're transforming lives by the hundreds, and it's because I'm focused. And here's what's funny. I make more money now than I've never, ever made in my career, and I've owned 14 businesses. When you do it right, when you really focus on helping other people, it is true what Ziegler says, if you help enough people to get what they want, right, then it's going to be no problem to get the things that you want. It's just that your wanter changes. You know now what it is that you need to go after. And it's just, David, so much more gratifying to live a life when you're looking outward than it is when you're looking inward.
Yeah. I mean, the two richest people on the planet right now are Bezos and Elon Musk, and they serve a whole lot of people. So they get the rewards that come with it. And, you know, the Bible says you're not that important.
Yeah.
You know, take your eyes off yourself and look for other people to help, you know, because then whenever you help someone else, you get a double benefit because you get the blessing of helping them. And then you get whatever they tell you back, you get it coming and going.
Yeah.
And it's, that's kind of the way it was set up from begin with.
You know, what's cool about that, David, is that you're changing the dynamics of that person's life and the ripple effect, right? It's changing the family tree, because if you can really encourage and teach and train other people to do it properly, obviously they're going to train and teach their children to do it differently. And that's what we're seeing so much success today is a lot of people weren't fortunate enough to have mentors. They didn't have a great family environment and they've had to wing it and learn on their own. And some people have learned it wrong. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so this way, it just teaches people to get on a trajectory that their life is better once they get on a solid footing. And then they can teach their children, their grandchildren to do the same. So it's very rewarding. It's very gratifying when you help other people see the light and accomplish their goals and dreams, all the while sharing this idea of success and significance. And so it's just really encouraging to us to get to do that each and every day and building a community called Iron Sharpens Iron and seeing other people tagging on to bringing their friends and them being involved. We've had people meeting 7, 8, 9 years in the same group. See, they're building these trusted advisors that they can go and share their life with and get real insight. You know, this is kind of funny. I had lunch with a guy not long ago, and I said, you know, I've been thinking, Robin and I have, as we near retirement age, you know, I'm not ready to quit, so it's going to be years before I do, but I may slow down a little bit. I said, I'm thinking about buying a condo down in Florida. What do you think about that? He goes, yeah, Big A, I think that'd be a good thing. And I said, why do you think that'll be a good thing? He said, well, you said that you wanted a condo down there. I said, do you think I can afford it? And he thought for a minute. He goes, well, you've owned all those businesses. And yeah, I think you could afford it. I said, well, the truth is you don't know. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, the truth is you're trying to give me advice and you really don't know. You don't know Robin. You don't know my kids. You don't know my grandkids. You don't know my history. You don't know what my aspirations are. You don't know my propensity in work. You don't know if I'm a creator, developer, or a maintainer, manager. You've never seen my finances. I may be leveraged to the hilt and you have no idea. Yet you're sitting there trying to give me advice on it would be good to buy a condo in Florida. And the truth is, you don't have a clue. And he goes, no, I really don't. See, that's what we do in life. We go out and try to get advice from people, and they can't answer all those questions. And they can't give us advice that is applicable to us, because every tub's got to set on its own bottom, right? Every person is different. And unless we know those things about people, the advice we give them is blanket information, and it may not be applicable to them whatsoever. But when you're meeting with non-biased trusted advisors on a weekly and monthly basis, annually for decades, they have all the answers to those questions, and they can give you advice that is applicable to you today. That's why a lot of people hearing me right now think, hey, I'm pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. Listen, you don't want to build trusted advisors when you need them. You don't have time to build them then. You want to be building them prior to needing them. The other thing is, oftentimes it's pretty arrogant for us to think we can walk alone. Well, you can go faster if you want to go alone, but you can go further if you want to go with a tribe. And the thing is you think you may be doing okay, but you don't really know how much better you could be doing unless you subject yourself to the scrutiny of people that are around you on a daily basis that are trusted advisors that could help you possibly go to a whole nother level. I think it's a stewardship issue. I think that it's incumbent on us to be the best steward over the gifts and the skills that we have today, not just do it mediocre. Right? I don't want anything, no mediocrity in my life whatsoever. I don't want to do it mediocre. I want to do it to its fullest. Listen, this is not a trial run. What we're doing right now is our life. This is not like we don't get a do-over. Like, we need to maximize this time right now today. And oftentimes we don't even know because we have nothing to measure against. And so I want to encourage your listeners today to think through, who are your trusted advisors? Who's helping you make decisions? Who are your 2 a.m. friends? Who's your board of directors? Who are the people that's in your corner that you can go to in times of need? Who is it that can give you that encouragement, that aspirational goals, and who can lift your arms when you're tired, or maybe borrow their strength when you're pretty weak? Who are those people in your life? You know, it's really sad because most people only have two friends. 87% of all people only have two friends that they can really say knows the answers to those questions. And I just want to say, man, that if you really want to excel in life, God designed us to be in community.
Yeah. And I think the quotation that comes to my mind about that is from Zig Ziglar. And he said, if you go out looking for friends, you'll find people scarce. But if you go out looking to be a friend, you'll find people everywhere.
Yeah, sure.
But that's that's not where it's not about you. That's about where it's about other people first.
Right. And then
that's where you be a friend.
Yeah.
You
know?
So you said you're more excited now than you have been in the last years after your, after your kind of 2 month unplugging sabbatical.
Yeah.
So what's the next step for you?
Yeah. Yeah. We're growing. Iron sharpens iron. God really put a burden on my heart to not just say it's limited to this amount of people. It's like, there's so many lives being changed. Why would I not want to share that with other people? And so what we've done is spent the last 2 years building the infrastructure, getting the systems and the processes in place, really building the superhighway in order to take this community to, you know, the next level. And so what we're doing is building a tribe. We've built an amazing community called Iron Sharpens Iron. And so, yeah, that's what's exciting about me now. I've gotten out of the way. The administrative tasks are on our team. I'm promoting, showing people the way, helping encourage them, and showing them that there's another life out there, and it's surrounding yourself with trusted advisors. So yeah, that's what's encouraging and exciting for me today.
Awesome. And it seems like whenever you said you were one way and then you had that sabbatical and now you think differently.
Yeah.
It seems like you are much more present. I mean, you're focused on the future too, but all you can do about is what you can do in the next, you know, two minutes is all you can
right
do
now. Control. That's right.
Yeah, so it's
present when you're present.
Right. And don't, yeah. Okay. So at one point, yeah. Okay. You had, you were trying to do everything yourself and you weren't trying to delegate, but now it's like, now you've realized a whole new world because you're like, oh, this person can do this better in their sleep than I could ever do.
Yeah.
And reading and studying.
Yeah. Yeah. Donald Miller's new book, Who Not How, is a must read for your audience. It's a fabulous book. And I wish that I had read it 30 years ago because I always tried to figure out how to do something. And the people that have real success, they don't figure out how to do it. They figure out who to get to do it. And I wished I had read that book years and years and years ago. I've spent so much time trying to do things that I'm inadequate in doing. There are only about three or four things I need to be doing personally in this space. Like I said, we've owned 14 businesses. There were many of them that I had to grind it out and I had to do certain things until I could afford to hire other people to do the task. But now today it's like, not anymore. It's like, you know, I don't need to know how to do everything. I need to get the team members to do it because they can do it, like you said, twice as good as I can.
Yeah, that I had not heard of that book yet, Who Not How. I'll look into it. It just from what you said in that 30-second description, that seems like me without even reading it. I will give something 20 or 30 minutes, and if I don't get a pretty good grasp on it pretty quickly, well, no, I go find somebody else to take care of it for me.
Yeah, sure.
You know what we do though?
You know what we do, David? And I've been guilty of this. And I'm sure you have in the past. You know, we step over dollars picking up dimes and we do it every single day. And I'm not too good to cut my yard. Like I'm not too good to do anything. I'll do anything. I'm a hard worker. I got a lot of grit, perseverance. I've done it all in all the businesses. I started out broker than a convict when I was 18. You know, I didn't have any money. And then we went on to do okay. So I'm not too good to do anything, but I simply look at the economics of it now. And they charge me, I think, $100 to cut my grass and they cut it every week. Well, I can get on a few coaching calls or lead the mastermind and in a day make enough money to pay somebody to cut my yard for the year. I mean, why would I want to go out there and spend 8 hours once a week cutting my grass and weed eating and all this? Why would I want to do that? It's the same. I read a funny story recently where this guy couldn't get his printer hooked up to his computer. And he called up and they said, it'd be $150 for me to come out. He goes, I'm not spending $150 to do this. And so he spent the next 3 days trying to hook his printer to his computer. And finally he called the guy and the guy came out there and the guy figured it up. He spent $1,500 worth of his time for a $150 job that he could have done 3 days ago. See, we try to do all these things we're not experienced in. We try to go out there and, you know, try to save a dollar here, a dollar there. And that's the whole premise of the book. It's like, get somebody that already knows what they're doing. Yeah, I read a biography recently about a family here in Nashville called the Ingrams. They own Ingram Book Company, Ingram Barge Company, multi-billion dollar family. And they talked about how they go out looking for the best talent. Like they don't look at the cost. They look for the best talent. And it's the way they scale their businesses. It's just a mindset shift. So we try to save a dollar here and a dollar there and hook our own printer up to the computer. And we don't know our butt from third base. We don't have a clue how to do that. And then we spend all this time, your most precious commodity, you're spending to try to save a dollar rather than doing what you're gifted at. I can get on a few interviews, do a few coaching calls, lead a few mastermind groups, and make way more than enough money because that's the thing I'm good at. And that's what I need to be doing. That's the reason it doesn't need to be in your zone of competence. Sure, you could do it, but it is in your zone of genius. What you're masterful at, that's where you need to spend your time.
Yeah, there's a difference in, I could do it, but the real important question is, should I do it in the first place?
No, you shouldn't. I can answer that already.
I mean, when we had our back fence, a hurricane came in a couple of years ago and it blew our back fence over. And someone said, are you going to fix that fence yourself? And I said, no, but no interest, no desire, no know-how, no will-how, no nothing. And he's like, yeah, but it's going to cost you, $1,200 to get your fixed fence. I said, yeah. And while they're fixing my fence,
yeah,
I can go make $1,200 and just pay for the fence.
Yeah.
And I don't have to do it.
No.
You know, so I'm definitely I'm a pay someone else or not a do-it-yourselfer for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you what you need to do. And I saw a commercial that said this, stay in your lane, bro. Get in your lane. That's 100%. Where you need to stay, right?
100%.
And if you stay in your lane, man, you're going to get better and better and better at your task. And you'll be able to fix all the fences that you want to.
Yeah. And it's, but see, that's, people get confused with, in my opinion, their zone of excellence versus their zone of genius.
Mm-hmm.
Like no one can run ISI like you because it's your baby.
Right.
You know, so whenever you're focused on that and you get more of a relationship with the people, you can help them quickly. And they're like, they don't care about if it takes you 3 minutes or it takes you 3 hours. They just want the result.
Right.
And if you can say, if you can fix it in 5 minutes, perfect. My weekend, my day's now available to go implement what I just learned because I got the solution in 5 minutes instead of 5 hours.
Yeah. 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 It's all about the time, man. It's all about the time. And so, yeah, that's what we need to do. But there again, it goes back to community. Here's what's cool in our groups is they'll jerk a knot in your hind end in a New York second. They'll call you out. They'll throw a flag on you in a minute when they'll take you to task on this topic that we're talking about. We do it to guys all the time. We really need a sense of encouragement. David, you do as well as I do. We all need people in our corners, being our cheerleaders, pushing us on. But we also need that guy in the corner that throws the flag and says, man, you cannot do this anymore. We're going to hold you accountable to stop doing this so that you really excel at what it is that you're good at. Or in your family, these guys that work 18 hours a day and they're doing it at the cost of losing their family, they're going to go home one day with a pocket full of money to a house full of strangers is what's going to happen. And then their wife's going to divorce them. Their kids are not going to have anything to do with them. That little boy wanting to pitch baseball with you, nobody is going to fill that void but you. And all you got time to do is look at your phone, get on social media, send another email. Here's what's going to happen. I got a daughter turned 39 today. I got another daughter is 37. There's going to be a day they move out of the house and you're going to all of a sudden wake up and you're going to go, hey, Brooke, hey, Holly, I've got time now. And they're going to say, sorry, Dad, I'm moving on with my family. I've got a career. And you're going to die a rich, old, lonely guy because you were too daggum stubborn to pay attention to putting boundaries up around things that were important. You didn't have your priorities prioritized. And now today you've made a buttload of money, but you offered your family on the altar of sacrifice to get there. And I'm just telling you, I almost did that. I'm speaking from experience. I almost lost my family 25 years ago because I was so focused on making some more money. And my family didn't care about that. My family wanted to spend time with me. And I come home one day and my wife goes, this ain't what I signed up for. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. You know, I'm dropping the ball. I'm taking the girls to ballet practice and Girl Scouts and you're making money. And I appreciate that. She said, I appreciate that. But like, we need you present when you're present. We need you to be here when you're here. So I've really gone on this thing now today where I want to help other people see that, right? I want them to understand that live life in its totality. I want you to grow personally, professionally, spiritually, relationally, financially. I want you to grow in every area of your life, but there's a cost associated with all growth. And you need to be sure that you're willing to pay the price. And so that's the reason we have these mastermind groups is to call you out, to help you with boundaries, to help you with margin, to help you excel and live that life of success where you don't offer up relationships at the expense. And so that's why I'm pretty passionate today, David, about helping people accomplish this.
Well, I think the missing link in not probably with ISI, because it's like this does not apply here, but a lot of times, like I've been told I have a certain way of speaking to people where I don't get my teeth knocked down my throat.
Yeah.
But they know I care.
Well, that's the bottom line. If you care and people know it, you can get away with saying some hard stuff.
Correct. But that's like that flag you're talking about, like, hey, no, no, sure. No, we're not doing this around here.
Right.
or you're not in this group. You right. outside of this group, you can do whatever you want, but it's right. going to come back to this
not
group.
Not here.
You know, we care. You know,
yeah, we've built this community where we align our core values with people that have similar core values. Like our core values are relationships matter most. Like if relationships don't matter most to you, you're never going to align with our organization, because in all 14 businesses that I've owned, the relationships have to matter most. The second core value is make it amazing. If you're going to do it, let's do your very best, right? I came home with a C on my report card one time. My mom said, never again. I said, what do you mean? That's average. She goes, yeah, that means you're just as close to the bottom as you are the top, and you're above average. You can do better than that. Also, we were never allowed to have excuses. So our third core value is no excuses. Like, own it. Just say, hey, this is what I did, and own it. Our fourth core value is everything is figure outable. We'll figure out a way. Don't tell me we can't do it. Don't. Our team comes in here and says, hey, this is the problem. These are some solutions, but don't tell me we can't do it. Everything is figure outable. It may not look exactly the way you want, but we can figure it out. And then finally, our last core value is truth before opinion. I personally am a Christ follower, and truth for me is God's word. And that's where the flag is in the ground for me. And I point back to that to find truth. I think we all have to have truth. We all have to be able to point back to a place that we can say, hey, this is the reason I do what I do. This is my flag in the ground. This is the line in the sand. This is where I draw the distinction between this or that. And so when you get a group of people that align with your core values, it's unbelievable at what you can accomplish.
Yeah. And that fourth pillar is, there's 7.5 billion people on the planet, give or take. Sure. But if 7.5 billion people say one thing and God's word says another thing, 7.5 billion people are wrong.
Yeah.
And this is not up for debate. No. So that's where you got to draw the line in the sand. Like, no. Let's go back to what the originator of everything said about the matter. Cause
that's right.
It's pretty clear, It's a Proverbs is a great book about money and how to handle it and about relationships.
Yeah. Sure.
But that one though, is you got to know what the word says, or you can't say you can't. Yeah. Oh, I think it says this, it's like the old, God won't give anything more than you can handle. Okay. Well, that's nowhere in the Bible.
No.
Case in point, Paul in 1 Corinthians says, we were pressed beyond measure and thought we would die.
Yeah.
So by definition, that's too big for you to handle.
Yeah.
But then he says, but then we learn to rely on the one who raises the dead.
Mm-hmm.
You're
getting me excited here. This is good stuff, man. This is why we have truth before opinion. Because if it's just your opinion and you have nothing to point back towards, we're going to have a difficult conversation. But if we can agree on what truth is, then we can go back. Everything in there is not exactly, there's some things that in there for up for interpretation, right? We have to wade through that. And I give you that. But as a whole, we have to have something that we point back that we say that's truth.
Yeah. And I'm fairly certain that you know this person I'm going to speak of, but Dave Ramsey is fond of saying someone with an experience is never at the mercy of someone with an opinion.
Yeah.
True. Like where you said, we're doing it this way because I've had this scar and this scar and this scar, and I've learned a thing or two.
Yeah.
That's why we do it this way and this way and this way. Yeah. So this doesn't happen.
Yeah. It's interesting. You asked me about Dave. Dave and I've been friends for over 30 years. I was Dave's second sponsor. He was on one radio station here in Nashville, and I sponsored his show for 21 years. And that's who I was referencing earlier, asked me to be in his mastermind group here in Nashville. And I got an opportunity, for decades to be around them and to do life with them. And Dan Miller's another one we talked about a little bit earlier. Dan's a great guy, 48 Days to the Work You Love. He's been a great mentor of mine for coming up on 30 years now as well. And so we've been friends for a long, long time. And that's all the more reason at what I'm saying, David, you build these lifelong relationships. And some of the listeners may be saying right now, oh yeah, if I could be in a mastermind with Dave Ramsey and Dan Miller, I would too. But see, the important thing to note here, they weren't then who they are now. See, that's the whole objective. When you get people around that can walk you every single day to do the task, to hold you accountable, to call you out, to push you along, you too can be successful. And so that's what it takes. And all these guys like Ken Abraham, Dan Miller, Ron Doyle, Jeff Mosley, Dave Ramsey, these guys got that. And that's what I'm trying to say today to your audience. Pay attention. Who are those people? Who are your accountability partners? Every week for 30 years, I've been meeting with three guys, and we meet every week. They know everything about me intimately, and they know to call out my BS. They know when I'm just blowing smoke. You know why? Because we spent time together, and I've actually burned out three groups. This group I've been meeting with 15 years now because I need that in my life. I need people walking in lockstep with me every single day, because if I'm left to myself, there's no telling where I would be. And I promise you, I wouldn't have near the success that I've had if I had gone alone. So I just want to encourage all of you today, go out there and find somebody that aligns with your core values. Enlist accountability partners. Subject yourself to their scrutiny, because in the counsel of the multitude, there's great strength. And when we go alone, it's just much, much more difficult.
100%. I think that's a good place to end right there.
Sounds good to me, buddy. I appreciate it. Thank you. I don't know.
It's been a pleasure speaking to you. Yeah. And I think the key for that is go out and be a friend, not looking for a friend.
Yeah.
And you gotta really care, because people can spot a phony from 100 yards away.
Yeah.
You're right. It's like, oh, okay. Well, he says this, but he does this. Well, that's going to, you don't want those kind of people. So,
no.
This has been an absolute joy.
It's been fun, David. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
Okay. Boys and girls.
Hey,
if
they want to learn more, just tell them to reach out to viewfromthetop.com. I'd love to have a conversation with you. If you're looking for a great group, I can introduce you to some of the greatest people on the planet in Iron Sharpens Iron. So reach out, viewfromthetop.com.
You heard it here first. Okay, boys and girls, if you would like to get with Aaron about Iron Sharpens Iron, reach out to him. And if you'd like to have a conversation about possibly it on the podcast, reach out and we'll make it happen. Y'all have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.